What up, what up, what up? Hey, welcome, y'all.
Hey, welcome back to the Off Label Podcast. What's going on?
We got Marco.
And we got Motorfeet.
Hey, y'all. So happy to be back.
You know what? Listen, I've been ready to talk shit. Like, for real. I've been so ready to talk shit. There's been so much going on, and I'm just like, wait, what the fuck?
Right. But yeah, we be ready to pod, y'all. I know we haven't been on time and, you know, bringing out this content like we should. But listen, I heard it be worth the wait. Y'all, listen, that was the feedback. So I appreciate everybody fucking with us and really...
just staying tuned and, you know, waiting for us to put out content. And at the end of the day, we will get better. You know, eventually we will, you know, put our best report to really get this... really out there to you guys, but at the end of the day, when y'all get it, trust me, we won't disappoint you.
I know that's right. So Marco wanted to start off the pod with a little bit of self-reflection and
right.
Like, oh, what can you work on? And you know, I'm like, I'm perfect. What you mean? What can I work on?
And that's a problem.
No, but you know what? Somebody did bring something up to me earlier this week. And I reflected on it just a little bit.
And what was that?
Just a little bit. They said, you know, what I noticed about you is that everything always got to be about you.
Ooh.
And, you know, you feel like a lot of stuff is beneath you.
I mean, you do. You can be bougie, though. Mm-hmm. Come on.
I think people are mistaken standards. For bouginess, and that is not it at all.
There's certain things about standards.
Because I bring a lot of ratchetness out, a lot.
Okay, my thing is with you, I feel like you're self-centered.
I mean, maybe that's what they were trying to say.
Right, it's all about you, and then sometimes, and like, even like when you be talking to niggas and shit, like, it all revolves around you, like, it's all about you.
But why wouldn't it be? If you are pursuing me, why wouldn't it be all about me?
But what about them, though?
I didn't pursue him. If I pursue you, then I'm going to make it all about you. But you pursuing me. So, yes, it's all about
me. No, I feel like it's an equal give and take. When you show mutual.
When it's a mutual thing and we both met and was like instantly attracted and we was like, let's do this.
So, it's supposed to be all about you if somebody is trying to pursue you. So,
yes.
And it ain't about the other nigga.
No. You pursuing me. I was like minding my business, going about my life. And you was like, hey, look at me. I want you. So, yes, make me pay attention. The fuck? Okay.
I don't like that.
Listen. I mean, I thought about it a little bit, and then my mind just really could not understand why it wouldn't be all
okay. So, obviously, somebody called it out, and you did some self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any growth? Is there any room and opportunity for you to learn something from somebody telling you that it can't just always be about you? Damn, like, really?
You know, I guess if we're going to move forward and I decide I want to be with you, then it won't be all about me.
Okay.
Because you know when I love people, family, friends, then it's all about them too.
Right.
You know how much I sacrificed as far as spending time and stuff with my family. So I'm sure that would transfer over to a relationship when I find somebody worthy of me investing that much interest in.
Touche. I'm going to give you that.
Okay.
No,
and then as far as things being beneath me, certain shit is beneath me.
I think there's certain things beneath, you know, a lot of people sometimes. But I just feel like you just got to, you know, be mindful.
Be mindful of what?
No, just be mindful, like, because there's been some times where you have been really condescending to certain people. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not condescending. That's not true. I pride myself being a kind, nice person.
But
do not say condescending.
The word is condescending. The word is condescending.
Not to people. To maybe the situation at hand. Not to the person.
Okay,
I'll work on that.
Right.
Because I don't like that, and I don't want to come off like
that. No, and I'm going to keep it straight 100 with you, you know what I'm saying? Because you disclose a lot of things to me, and of course, I always keep it a buck, so I'm going to let you know, like, yo, some of the stuff that, like I said, some of the stuff that you say could come off if other people hear it, they'll be like, okay, bitch, like, you know, you'll be a little condescending, but okay. But that's just me calling you out about okay. certain things. And of course, I don't have to go and disclose what was said or whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm just letting you know, like, that could be something that you might want to take back and like reflect on it some more and be like, okay,
that's something I definitely. Right, but right. You don't think I'm kind to people?
No, you are. Okay, come on, I'm not fuck with you.
Okay, just right. making sure. Right. But I do try to, you know, be nice to everybody I come across until right. I have a reason not to be.
Okay.
But if I'm doing shit, they have people looking like, okay, now why would you say that or look at me like that? Then I'll work on that.
Right. Okay. And I feel like for me, you know, sometimes I could be very emotional. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Mm-hmm. The people that fuck with me, the people that know me knows that very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And also one thing about me is that I have a tendency to ruminate. And when I tend to ruminate, I get into my head and I ponder, I think, and it's like I'm trapped inside my head. And there's sometimes where I will feel a certain way about a certain situation because I ruminated on it, and then I act on based on the reality that I created within my head.
Right, the false narrative.
The false narrative. You know what uh-huh. I'm saying? And so I feel like that has caused a lot of issues
mm-hmm.
in relationships, in friendships, in whatever, you know, situationships or whatever. And I feel like that's something that I could like start really, you know, working on, you know.
Yeah,
and
because
one thing about it is I also literally had this conversation with my therapist, and we really had that conversation where, and I let her know, she was like, you know, that's something that you really need to work on. And I'm like, you know,
mm-hmm.
something that I'm gonna grow out of.
I just feel like you could pay me for therapy, because I feel like I've told you all of this before.
You did. You did. But I feel like so at some point the person has to, you know, realize it and acknowledge it for themselves. And I feel like now I'm actually able to, like, acknowledge that and see where that fault is.
Mm-hmm.
And I never want to, you know, invalidate my feelings. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
make it seem like my feelings are not valid.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just certain ways in how you, you know, act upon certain things that could just be untrue because I created it within myself.
Right, and the thing about you, Marco, is that when you tell yourself these stories in your head,
right,
and when you get into your feelings, like, your whole being is that.
Right,
you
right.
know what I'm saying? Just because you're a very passionate, emotional person,
exactly.
so whatever energy that you have going on is going to be felt in the room, right?
Right? Yep.
So when you're super happy and positive and in good vibes, any and everybody around you can feel it.
Right.
But when you're down and out, you don't even have to say nothing. And you can feel it.
It's the energy.
Right. And right. so, you know, I try to be a supportive friend, but sometimes I'm just like, Mark, I don't have time. I don't have time. I love you, but I'm not answering the phone until I feel like this shit.
Because right.
it's going to be the same story that you told me yesterday that is not even a true story.
Right,
it's a false
right,
narrative.
Right.
So I don't have time to play with you about in your imaginary world right now. I just don't. And I love you. But, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's like I said, that's something that I could definitely work on. And that's what I'm working on right now.
Yeah, so what we're going to ask our listeners to do, I know some people get a little bored, like, oh, y'all talking about yourselves. But really, the pod is just basically entertainment. And then, of course, we want everybody to learn something from it. So just as a listener, whenever you have time to sit back and reflect on what you got going on and how
right.
you can self-improve, just think
right.
about the feedback from other people.
Exactly.
You could be hard-headed and a bull like me and be like, I don't know about that. Or sometimes if it's coming from multiple people, be like, you know what? Okay, maybe that's something I need to think about
right.
and adjust. So,
and one thing about life, it's all about growing, you know, and
yep.
learning about yourself. And that's one thing that for me, I take that very personal. You know, I take that very serious because my thing is you don't want to be the same nigga you was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, doing the same shit, acting the same way.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, we're getting older, you know,
mm-hmm.
I turned 31, you know, it's your birthday, you know.
My birthday next week, y'all.
Coming through, you
it's
know what I'm saying?
It's giving Libra season.
You know what I'm saying?
Queenish vibes.
Exactly.
Oh,
ethereal.
Yeah. Yes.
So
lots of sex appeal and beauty and fun.
I know, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, my thing is, like, you just don't want to be the same bitch. You don't want to be the same nigga. You know, it's all about self-improvement. It's all about personal growth. And, you know, making life worth living.
I know that's right. Right. And that's exactly what I plan to do next week, is make life worth living. Because if I don't do one thing, y'all, I am going to celebrate myself,
I know,
especially
that's right.
on my birthday. So next weekend, I plan on having a great time. And maybe the next pod, I have some stuff to tell y'all about what happened on my birthday.
Okay? It's always something. All right. So this week, listen, I reached out to you and I'm like, bitch, we need to hit a lid. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to do something because we're going through life the right way. And when I mean the right way, we're in corporate America. We're both working at, you know, really good jobs. We're both in school, you know, trying to, you know, pursue degrees and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, you know, we're still living paycheck to paycheck. We're still mm-hmm. living, you know, this, I'm not going to say like mediocre, but it's just like,
just
basic,
a standard,
you know,
basic
ass life.
Right.
We're like, I'm not going to say that, you know, because you know how they say middle class, like, bitch, yeah. you know, we're the poor class. You know what I'm saying?
I am not claiming that.
Listen.
Well, I am not claiming that.
You don't have to claim it, but I feel it. You know? You know what I'm saying? So my whole thing is like, so I called you the other day. I'm like, yo, you know what? We got to hit a lick. Like, what can we do to fraud some shit? Do some scamming that shit? Because at the end of the day, niggas are out here scamming.
Well, you didn't even think about scamming. You was just like, you was looking on like Instagram or something. And you was just like, how everybody got all this fucking money.
Right.
Like, everybody. I said, listen, people be out here scamming.
Right.
Everybody in America, pretty much, not everybody, but most of the people who didn't get rich is because they scammed a little.
Right, right.
All these billionaires, remember the Wall Street dude, Murdoch,
he ended up
super rich. Like, people get rich in America off scamming.
Right.
And they would like people to believe that it's from hard work and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and all
bullshit.
That shit. It absolutely is not. It is politics and scamming.
Right.
Period. Now, when it comes to the tech industry, I would give it to some of those people. Like, yeah, they started a tech company or whatever.
And they really
And they worked their ass off to, you know, with a startup business, cool. But everything else, mostly everything else, it started off with scams and politics, period.
Right.
So,
and I mean, and on Instagram, I don't know how many profiles I received. Like, I'm getting friends requests from these Forex traders, these Bitcoin miners, all this bullshit. And look, I ain't gonna lie, my dumb ass did, you know, try.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Marco, like, fell into the whole Forex scam
shit. It was the Bitcoin mining bullshit. And, you know, okay, one thing about me, scare money don't make money. So my thing is, I'm like, okay, there's always a time for me where I'm like, okay, my bank account is looking good and whatever. And, you know, I can't afford to lose money, but it's just like, okay, I could gamble something.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, decided to gamble, you know, $200. And of course, some bullshit happened. And this bitch.
I said, you gave them people your money. Why didn't you call me first?
All right. And I mean, you know, I'm looking to be financially, you know, free very soon in my life. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And of course, if I can't hit a lick, I'm going to find something. You know what I'm saying? So at this point, you know, it looked kind of promising and I went through the whole process and now all of a sudden, like the bitch said, it's only going to cost you $200 and now y'all over here asking me for more money.
Y'all,
like,
Marco fell for the whole turn 200 to 2000 scam. I'm sorry. I couldn't believe my friend actually fell for that. But
listen, maybe it was a desperate day for me.
Okay.
Give me that shit. I'm desperate.
But you can't be that desperate.
Right.
But the moral of the story is, it's people out here. Everybody, it's you know, it's smoke and mirrors,
right?
Of course, it's people out here really, truly getting it. But mostly everybody else is out here scamming.
Right.
We can start off with Rick Scott.
Oh.
Right. Rick Scott, the former governor of Florida.
Right.
Remember, he had a Medicare scam where he stole almost like $62 million or something from Medicare.
And now he's a senator.
Why
isn't he in jail, though, on federal charges?
Exactly. That's why, you know, people give scammers a lot of flack, and I'm just like, listen, I don't have enough balls to do it. I really don't. I wish I did.
Right.
But listen, if the people in the top office out here doing it, then a regular Joe can be out here scamming and get away with it. As long as they ain't taking my money, I don't really care.
I don't know. Well, honestly, I don't know what's been going on with this week, but the fraud's been getting caught. Okay, So we could start off with British Williams. I don't know if you guys know about the former Basketball Wives cast member, British, who was on the show. And, like, she's in jail. You know what I'm saying?
She's in jail.
She's been arrested.
Okay, jail and arrested is different. So she was arrested for fraud.
Well, what? Okay, jail, arrest. Bitch, you get arrested and you go to jail, right?
And then, yeah, or a holding cell. And then they let you out if you could pay bond.
Well, with all that, well, anyways.
Anyway, so what she was doing with the
scams. So, British Sierra Williams was indicted on charges including 5 felony charges on misuse of social security numbers, 4 charges of bank fraud, 3 charges of making false statements to the IRS. And you know, people don't fuck with the IRS because once you fuck with the IRS, bitch, they coming for that ass.
They are.
Anyways, 3 charges of wire fraud and 3 charges of aggravated identity theft. Like, at this point, girl, what the fuck? And so she was arrested on October 7th and plead not guilty to all charges.
So, but basically,
bitch, you're guilty.
What she was doing, y'all, the typical scam, get people's social security numbers, all of that stuff, open up credit cards in their name, write a check in their name, put it in her bank account, take the money out before the bank know that it's fraud. Like, that's the typical scamming steeze. Everybody in urban cities know, like, when scammers do that, like, every scammer, that's pretty much their whole thing, is getting credit card numbers and opening up checking accounts or getting fake checks and depositing $5,000 to $10,000 in bank accounts and then taking the money out. That scam has been going on since I was a teenager, so I would say maybe about 10 to 15 years, and I don't understand how it's still, like, the banks ain't caught on.
But my thing is, I don't know if you guys ever watched Basketball Wives, and especially the season that she was on. This bitch was on the show acting all grand, acting all like she.
But ain't that what scammers do? They flash all their money. They act like they really worked hard for it.
But the whole time when you was acting all grand, bitch, you needed a grant. Okay? You needed
a grant.
Like, my whole thing is, it's just like, you really acted your ass on the show like you was that type of bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you really weren't. You were still the ghetto ass bitch from the hood.
Oh.
Looking for a lick.
Huh, get it how you live it. So
anyways, Shannon Brown. I don't know if you guys know who Shannon Brown
he's
is.
He's a Chicago native.
You know, he's an NBA player.
Formerly
Monica's ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing.
But he was Shannon Brown before he was Monica's
ex-husband.
Right.
Let's not do him. But at this point, you probably will forever go down in history as Monica's ex-husband.
A very sad case.
Because my whole thing is, like, you are that desperate. I don't know.
Not that desperate.
I don't know what kind of money that you're not bringing in or what endorsement that you don't have at this point. And the fact that you're no longer married to Monica anymore, to the point where you have to sit there and try to defraud, like, fraud.
NBA. And my thing is, you made so much money over your career. I just don't understand people who made millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Where'd it go?
And did not invest it right, and, like, you end up broke.
Like,
that don't make sense to me.
Where did that shit go? So he was arrested for allegedly defrauding the NBA health and welfare benefits plan out of $4 million. So with 17 other people.
So basically what they were doing was submitting fake claims to the insurance company.
Right.
And so that they can get reimbursed for it. So for instance, they would say, oh, I had cavities and it costed me $5,000 to get it fixed. I pay for it out of pocket. Here go the fake claim. And now the insurance send you that $10,000 back.
But don't you think
the whole time they didn't even get none of these services done.
Okay.
So that's where the fraud came in at.
Wow.
And they had their family members doing it. Like,
but my whole thing is $4 million, right? Let's divide it between 18 people or whatever. That's like only $250,000 like dollars you're pocketing for yourself.
And that's a little bit of money for somebody who supposedly had millions. Like, you needed to steal $250.
I know what I'm saying. So at this point, it's just like, you're going down in history as a fucking thief.
Not a thief.
You're no longer an NBA player. You're just a hood ass nigga from the that's from the fucking.
You're a scammer now.
That you will forever go down in history as a fucking scammer. You're like, you are a fucking thief.
I'm not leaving my stuff around you. You a scammer.
Right.
You gonna put something in my name.
At this point, Monica, don't leave your purse on him, okay? Because you know he got them going.
Oh my God. So who else been out here scamming?
Carly Rae's ex-husband.
Okay, so this dude, he got on Love & Hip Hop as Carly Rae's, Love & Hip Hop Atlanta as Carly Rae's love interest. He proposed to her on the show, whatever, whatever. So they got him on the PPP loan stuff. He, I don't know how much he took out, but I know it was some millions. And of course, he didn't pay his employees for that with that money. He used that money to pay off child support, which I'm happy he took care of that business first. But other than that, he was buying fancy cars, jewelry. Like, he didn't use the PPP loan for
right.
a business. So now he's getting about 17 years, right?
Now, ain't that some nigga shit, though?
What?
You steal some money, but you go ahead and buy jewelry.
Nigga shit. Like, ghetto. Don't make no kind of sense.
It's like pure vanity. Like, literally pure. Like, I don't understand this shit. Just ignorance. Yeah.
And that's my thing about scammers. Like, if y'all gonna get out here and scam, when you hit your lick, take some of that money and invest it legally. Okay?
Right, right, right.
Open up a legal business. Open up your mama a business. You know, like,
do something
right with the money.
Right.
Don't have to, you shouldn't have to keep living off of the next scam. Because at this point, you may as well get a job because that's what it is.
Right, right, right.
The only thing is, your job is going to have a dead end of jail.
Right.
Right? So, my thing is, y'all do all this scamming just to flash a couple of bags and take a few trips and post on Instagram, like, you hustling backwards.
Right, right, right.
You hustling backwards.
Like, people do. Because
if I'm a scammer, no. Listen, my scamming is to get me out of working, right, okay? Right. So that I never have to work again, mm-hmm. that I never have to scam again. It's like, let me hit this quick lick and invest this money right, and I don't have to do this shit no more. That's how drug dealers and stuff get caught up, because they got to keep doing it
right.
instead of taking the money and using it to get out of that lifestyle.
Right.
But so he got like 17 years. And then another dude from Pretty Ricky, Baby Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, grind on me.
That was my favorite
relax
shit.
Relax your mind, take your time with me. We was too young to be singing that.
But I was singing that shit.
But yeah, so he was a member of Pretty Ricky. Baby Blue, he got caught up on the PPP loans because he took out millions and stuff like that. So,
I mean, my thing is, when you're doing this shit, do you not think about getting caught?
Scare money don't make money.
I know that's right. But wait, scare money don't make money, but you don't have the money. You know what I'm saying? So it's really not...
Well, in retrospect, right, some people get caught for scamming and they only got to do like a year in jail. So if they make like, I don't know, $1 million, $200,000 from scamming, but then they only got to spend a year in jail and then not pay the money back. Yes, that's worth it.
But at this point, you will forever go down in history as a thief and a scammer. So anyways, well, my main issue is with Joel Osteen. Like,
Joel Osteen did not get caught for scamming.
At the end of the day, it says that Joel Osteen's church has to pay back $4.4 million.
It didn't say he has to pay back. It says he's going to.
Regardless of none, it says Joel Osteen's church to pay back $4.4 million PPP loans. Listen, that mega church, there has to be something fraudulent going the fuck on.
What? Why?
I do believe it. I don't trust that nigga from
nobody. Oh, I don't. Definitely don't trust him.
Like, when I tell you, with that southern accent, all that southern accent, listen.
And God said.
No.
All
my
you have
whole thing,
to do
listen,
is.
Right. Like, man, save all that bullshit, because I'm not here for it. I'm not listening to it. All that extra that he got going on, especially when it comes down to his little prayer.
What?
Guys, you know what? I can't.
Okay, so the thing is, He have like 300 and some employees, right? So the PPP is the Paycheck Protection Program. So he, instead of using the church funds, he took out the loan so that he can pay his employees for being off work. You know, during the pandemic, they couldn't have church, so they wasn't collecting tithes. So that do make sense to me.
It don't, listen, the entire congregation needs to be fucking sent to jail, okay?
The congregation.
The whole entire, the whole
the
place.
The people going to the church.
The people, everybody.
Shut your mouth.
Mama, especially with that, you know he's scamming when, with that little soft ass voice talking about, oh, I never like to close the broadcast without, you know, helping people find, you know, finding.
I am who I am. I can do what he say I could do.
No, it's Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I'll make you my Lord and Savior. Friends, if you play that simple prayer every night. Bitch, I'm not praying that prayer because it's coming from your ass.
Oh, God.
At this point, I'm not listening to a motherfucking thing Joe had to say. Because, and then when you think about it, like, when the whole situation happened with the hurricane or whatever, when he didn't even want black people to come to his church, like, nigga, fuck you and what the fuck you got going on. I have nothing for that, for this man. I used to listen to this nigga, like, all the time. Like, I remember listening to, you know, his little services.
I used to watch
you know, his little sweet voice. And, you know, as a Haitian person, I go to, you know, growing up, I used to go to a Haitian church. And when the Haitian pastors be talking, they be speaking with conviction. They be like, they damn near yelling at your ass. You know what I'm saying? So when I started watching Joel, I'm like, you know what? Like, this is very peaceful. It's not whatever. And then now I realize why he was so damn peaceful, because your ass is over here scamming, motherfucker. I'm not with the bullshit.
He's not scamming. But what I will say is I'm so turned off that church, period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I do not like the fact that churches don't pay taxes. I don't like it. I know they's like, oh, separate church and state, but we're not separating church and state.
Right.
We putting laws into place because of people's religious beliefs. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, if we gonna really separate church and state, then don't know laws need to be in place based on anything that got to do with the church. And then on top of that, like I said, they don't need to pay taxes. Why are governors showing up at churches, and why are pastors telling you who to vote for when you go to church?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they getting paid. They're influencing politics and stuff like that.
Right.
And since they are influencing politics, then they need to pay taxes.
Right.
Since you up here asking for federal loans and stuff, then you need to pay taxes.
Right.
Why should you get a federal loan when you ain't paid taxes
all
year? You don't have to pay taxes. I don't understand. Y'all getting all this money, free money from people, and half of these churches don't even put back into the community. The reason that they supposed to get these tax cuts is because, oh, you're doing charity, you put back into the community. But half of them, the mega churches, we know they don't put back into the community.
You got pastors riding around with Rolls Royces.
And they got these
Bentleys.
They got planes and stuff, private jets.
First lady walking around here with Gucci. Bitch, what you need with a Gucci bell?
She want to look nice, but all I'm saying is you can look nice, you need to pay taxes.
Right. Listen, I definitely get that. I'm definitely not here for none of that bullshit. The way they're doing church is running a business.
It's a business, so a business, you know, needs to be taxed.
Right. So, I mean, that's just what it is.
So, with that being said, because they can't seem to separate church and state, now Texas has that abortion law that went into place. So basically, you can't get an abortion after 6 weeks.
Right. So this law limits our ability, well, females' abilities, to provide abortion care in Texas beyond care of 6 weeks of pregnancy, and sometimes even earlier. So my whole thing is, and you know, I just took a women's class last semester, and one of the questions, this definitely came up. And it's crazy that we live in a patriarchal society where men make the decisions. But my issue is, it's always white men making these decisions. And I just don't understand that. And now you're trying to control what a woman does with her body. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, who the fuck gives these white men the power and the authority to sit there and make these type of decisions for anybody?
they gave themselves the powers through legislation. Right, right, that's what they do. Right. That's what they do. But it's very unfortunate because just because you put a law into place don't mean it's going to stop anything. If somebody don't want to have a baby, they're not going to have a baby.
Right. And I heard, it's really that simple. Matter, it doesn't matter if it's incest. It doesn't matter if you're raped. There's no circumstances you will be penalized for that shit.
And it's really disgusting because most women don't know that they're pregnant
at 6 weeks. Right.
You know, you have your cycle basically every 3 to 4 weeks. When I had got pregnant with my son, after 2 weeks of not getting my period, I was still like, oh, because I had been 10 days late before. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, because sometimes your body just resets itself with the seasons. I don't know, based on your diet, based on who you be around. Like, if you be around other women, your body start like, correlating with theirs, and right, y'all start getting y'all periods at the same time. So with that being said,
wait, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like me and what's our friend that lives in Sanford. I'm not gonna say her name on the pod. Okay. But since we spend so much time together, now our periods come literally every month together.
That is weird.
Yeah.
As hell.
So that happens.
Right.
So with that being said, if you miss like 7 to 10 days, you don't really freak out about it.
Right.
You're just like, oh, it's coming, right?
Right, right, right.
So that can put you at 5 to 6 weeks without knowing that you're pregnant. So then by the time you go, you're like, you about 5-6 weeks now. And so you're telling me somebody can't abort by then? And yeah. I'm definitely, y'all better know I'm pro-choice.
It's my thing is, like I said, like thinking about, okay, like I said, I wrote discussion posts after discussion posts after discussion posts about stuff like this. And it's just kind of like, to me, it's just like, I just don't understand how society continues to allow bullshit. Like, I don't understand how, who, what, when, where, fucking how. Like, I don't get that
and
shit.
And then they try to hide it under the guise of they care about fetuses and they care about humans and warp the bam. But we all know they don't care. Because soon as that baby is born and the mother can't take care of it,
right.
Now she's a piece of shit.
Right.
Soon as she can't provide for that baby, you shouldn't have fucking had it. Right? Right.
And I don't have have the particular statistics, but again, once again, the racial disparity within the healthcare system, mm-hmm. and it proves that Black women are the ones who are mostly affected by, will be affected by this law.
Well, minorities.
Minorities, right. Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Because usually, like most minorities don't have as much disposable income as white Americans, right? So it's like, you get pregnant, I'm 6 weeks, let me save up $300-$400 to get this abortion. So this is probably going to take another 2-3 weeks month. You know what I'm saying? So it's just the whole income thing on trying to get the money to have the abortion, the access to services, having to drive all the way across the city to get the abortion.
Right.
So it's just so many factors that take place. So yes, it definitely will affect.
And again, like I said, it's just unfortunate.
Women of color.
Right.
But I look at it like this. Just outside of the whole pregnancy thing, it is a medical procedure.
Right.
How are you telling somebody medical procedure they can and can't have, especially when they not using insurance for it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm coming out of pocket to have a medical procedure.
Right.
That's like telling somebody I'm making a law against BBLs.
Right.
Oh, you can't have BBLs. Who are you to tell me what I could do with my body?
I don't get that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
a man is literally making a decision about what the next female has to do.
Well, y'all know the conspiracy theorists out here are saying that.
What they saying?
The tea is what they saying is that, you know, white America is soon to become the minority.
Right, right.
And they don't like to say it, but white women have abortions just as much as Black women, right?
Right.
So to balance it out,
mm-hmm.
they like, we're going to put this abortion law into place and we're going to force these white women to have babies.
Right.
So that, you know, our race can continue to thrive.
Unfortunately, sad to say, but
we all gonna be minorities. The Hispanics is taking over. This is their land. And that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But You know, Texas is ass backwards. They made it where you could just carry a gun. Mm-hmm. You don't need no kind of license. You could just go to a store, buy a gun, no matter who you are, and just walk around with your gun. Okay? Mm-mm. That is a godforsaken state, and I've never been in Texas, and I don't think I want to go. But speaking of Texas, so recently, last Friday or Thursday, they said it was a mass shooting. And then, of course, they had, y'all know they don't do this like that. Uh-huh. But they had the picture of the dude all over the place. And we like, they got the picture out that soon, you know.
Right.
So it was a black teen, and they like, it's a mass shooting. Whoa. Come to find out, it definitely wasn't a mass shooting, because we don't do that.
Right.
We just don't do that. So what happened was, 18-year-old Timothy, I guess his parents have a little money. So he come to school every day fresh. You know what I'm saying? He always got weed on him. He always got jewelry, the latest iPhones, like whatever, but he's soft, okay? He's soft, and you know, I'm not a boy, but I have a son, and like men, and you're a male,
right?
So y'all could just sniff out certain stuff about other men, right? So little boys are like, oh, I want what he got,
right?
So he would come to school, and 15-year-olds would rob him every day,
right?
They would rob him for his weed, they would rob him for whatever he had, and they would just pick on him, beat up on him every day. So I guess he decided, you know what, I'm tired of getting bullied.
Right.
It was to the point that his mom said she had brought it to the attention of the school, and they didn't do nothing about it.
Oh, you see, I didn't hear this part of the story.
That's what was said. So now he feel like he can't fight. He needs to, he wanted to defend himself. So I guess he must have known that when he came to school this day, they was going to beat his ass. So he took a gun to school. And so it's a video of him getting beat up that day.
Oh,
and he's
wow.
not even fighting.
I did not even
yes,
know about
y'all. He's not even fighting back. Mm-hmm. Like, he's getting beat up at 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. He got his head down. He got his, like, he's in a protection position with his arms up on his on the side of his face. Like, he's trying to protect himself. He's not fighting back. He getting beat the hell up, y'all. Okay? Mm-hmm. If it was my son, I would feel so sad.
Right.
I felt sad for him. But if I saw that video, I would be crying like, oh my gosh, my son is just getting fucked up. And the boy is just hit him in the face, mm-hmm. trying to, like, throwing him around. Like, he fucking him up. And he called him all kind of bitch-ass niggas. It's horrible. Okay? And he pulled out his gun and he shot that boy, okay?
Ooh, wow.
He shot him a couple of times, and
did the boy die?
The boy did not die. The boy is in critical condition. A few other students got gazed or hit or whatever. So it made national news. Come to find out, it definitely wasn't an active shooting situation. Mm-hmm. He ended up bailing or bonding out of jail. He's out right now. The kid that is in critical condition,
right.
His family did a GoFundMe, and they said, oh, the media is trying to paint our son out to be a bully. He definitely wasn't a bully. How can a 15-year-old bully a 18-year-old? Whoop the man. So, I just feel like I'm talking too much. Marco ain't said that.
No, my mom.
But I'm looking at the parent's statement, and I'm like, what do you mean your right. son is not a bully? It's fighting that is not fighting back.
My issue with parents is that your kid is not the way they are at home. That's not how they are in school. And we all know that. You know what I'm saying? There's girls who go home and be little princess to their little daddies and, you know, princess and act like whatever, but then go to the school and be a whole thot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
There's kids that, you know, there's little, you know, teenage boys who go home and act like a nerd, you know, they're doing their homework, they're doing all this stuff. But then at school, you a whole bully, you over here cussing out teachers and whatever. And mm-hmm. hell, I know that to be a fact, because I used to be one of those kids where I used to be at home acting all nice, but then at school, my mom was reckless. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I don't know nothing about that, because I was the same at home as I was at school. Maybe just a little bit worse at school, but pretty much.
No, you were worse at... No, I know you were. Every kid does it. Like,
I was worse at school.
Your persona at home is not what you give at school. Like, I just... A lot of kids do that. Yeah. And I feel like for this parent to be like, oh, my son is not a bully. No, your son is a ghetto ass.
He was like on blood or right. something when he hit him up, like when he beating him up. And I'm just like, what?
Right.
Did you not see your son beating somebody just not fighting back?
Right.
Like
right.
as a mom of a son, I'm going to teach my son, if I haven't told him already, I don't know if I had that conversation with him, but you don't fight nobody that's not fighting back.
Right, right.
If you start hitting them and they don't hit you back, leave them alone.
Right.
Clearly, they're not capable or willing or able or ready to fight back.
Right.
So at this point, it is bullying. What you fighting somebody that's not fighting right. back for? That's so weak. So I'm not going to give that boy an excuse for...
So what's going on with the dude... who was bullied? So he's
out of jail. He's out on bond or bail, whatever the term is. And he's just waiting his trial. I think they charged him with like unlawful mm-hmm. possession of a weapon.
But I mean, at the end of the day, it's never okay to bring a gun to school anyway. Like you could hurt other kids, you can hurt other people. So if he's going to be punished for something, he's going to be punished for bringing the gun to mm-hmm. school. Because at that point, like, nigga, what the fuck you bringing the gun to school for? Like, these days, like, I just feel like people just don't know how to really, you know, like, back in the day, niggas used to just fight. You know what I'm saying? Just regular fight. Even though, like, he may not know how to or what have you, but niggas are scared to get hit. You know what I'm saying? So, but my thing is, like, the day and age that we're in now, niggas don't, it's not about fighting. I'm bringing a gun and I'm capping that ass. Like, that's what it seems like. That's what's going around. And
that's scary.
It is scary.
But I don't know. Can I blame both parents? I'm going to blame the bully's parents because you haven't taught your kid.
Right.
I'm assuming. You may have, and he just might be rebellious.
Right.
But he don't got enough sense to know to leave people the fuck alone.
Right.
Why are you stealing from other people? You know what I'm saying? Why are you taking something from somebody?
Right.
Go, if you want some weed, go work on some weed. Go work to buy some weed.
A future scammer already?
If you want the new iPhone, you 15. In most states, you can work at 15. Go work and, you know, save up your money to get what you need to do. If you can't work at a corporation, like McDonald's or something, mm-hmm. ask the neighbors, can you cut their grass, do whatever.
Ask you.
No, I'm saying the parent. Like, ask the parent, can you, mm-hmm. can I do any extra work around the house to earn income? But you don't go and take from other people because right. you don't have. But then, if I have an 18-year-old, why are you letting people bully you?
Right.
That is going to be my question. Because we're starting, I've been raising my son since he was younger. First of all, you assert yourself. Number one, don't ever let nobody feel like they have power over you.
And
number two, always, always, always speak up for yourself, no matter how scared you are, no matter if your voice is going to shake or what. Don't let nobody walk over you. Mm-hmm. Always defend yourself, whether it's a kid or a parent. Don't let nobody treat you or talk to you no kind of way. And if somebody put their hands on you, you definitely need to put big hands back, no matter if you get beat up or not.
And I mean, you know, of course I have, you know, my twin brothers. And of course, that's something that I've always talked to them about because, you know, high school, that's always been a savage, you know, a savage realm. So at the end of the day, like, I always make sure to let them know, like, hey, don't ever allow somebody to come talk to you any kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever allow somebody to put their hands on you. Don't ever allow somebody to try to make it seem like, you know, that you're intimidating and whatever. They're going to try to pick on you or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, I have one of my brothers who are, you know, sensitive like me and whatever. And so he has dealt with a lot of issues in that area where, like, a lot of people at school say, like, certain things about him, spreading rumors and shit like that. And, of course, I'm like, yo, be in front of that shit. Because can't nobody, you know what I'm saying, get you on your own team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my thing is, like, just be in front of that shit. And I was like, but the main thing is, like, if somebody step up to you.
You got to,
you know, assert yourself and make sure that they know you're not going to.
You're not gonna accept that because once they think that you're gonna accept it, they're gonna keep doing it. Just like this little 18-year-old. Why is a 15-year-old beating you up? You know, back in our day, you come home and tell your parents you got beat up, what they gonna do?
Right, right.
They gonna tell you to go back. You better go back outside and fight. Don't you come in this house and tell me you got beat up.
Right.
That's unacceptable.
Hell, my mom came down to the school, was ready to throw down. So
what? Not
yeah, my mom was. Oh, hey. who put their hands on my son? Like, what's up? So,
yeah. So, moving on from that.
Anyways,
hell of a state,
right? But anyways, look, I have an issue. I have a fucking issue when it comes down to the LGBTQABCG, whatever they want to call it.
Not the members of the alphabet.
All the alphabet or whatever.
That you're a part of, FYI.
Well, you know what? That's
look. That I could have been a part of.
But look, when it comes down to this community, I don't understand why these motherfuckers are so fucking sensitive.
Okay, let me just lead by this. Okay, so y'all, we're talking about Dave Chappelle, and basically he had another comedy special talking about cancel culture.
Which I loved.
He talking about cancel culture. And basically most people nowadays get canceled for homophobia or transphobia. Now, the thing is about the trans community is that, like, trans women are getting killed at a higher rate than the average person. They are.
But
so,
I mean,
those jokes, even though it's jokes, it's like, okay, we can't, it ain't really that funny because these are the kind of jokes that lead to women getting killed. And okay. So that's where trans women don't want to be joked about at all because of the history of them. So much violence against them.
Okay, so the National Black Justice Coalition asked Netflix to pull Dave Chappelle's The Closer special over the comments deemed transphobic.
But do you know what comments he made?
I watched it, and I mean, the entire skit that he was doing was literally about trans. And
but why would he do a whole skit about trans?
It's literally to show that there is, it's, you know, it's a little biased a little bit. It's kind of like people are so sensitive to one topic, but it's like, okay, for example, the baby killed a man.
Mm-hmm.
He was never canceled because he killed a man.
And,
I think it was a black woman. You know what I'm saying? So he has done a lot of shit that a person would deem.
Yeah, he should have been canceled.
So now that he's talking to the sensitive community, you know what I'm saying? Now it's kind of like, oh, well, he needs to be canceled because he's talking about the gay, you know, he made an AIDS comment or whatever. My whole thing is,
well, that was inappropriate because that don't just affect.
Right, but my thing is, once again, he said it, but was he talking about gay? Like, my issue with the whole community is like, okay, y'all just too damn sensitive at this point.
So you speaking to your own community.
Look, okay, I don't want to get into that conversation where I don't even want to affiliate myself with that whole bullshit anyway. But my whole thing is, for me, is like, okay, trans women, y'all out here getting killed and this and that, whatever. But the thing about the trans women getting killed and being in, you know, my thing is they're placed in situations that they put themselves in. You want
to say, but they don't deserve to get killed.
They don't deserve to get killed. But my thing is, at the end of the day, there's a repercussion for every action, and you put yourself in a situation that might not just be safe for you. You know what I'm saying?
Some of them are in situations that shouldn't even be threatening, right? It's, I meet some guy and he claims he likes me. I like him back. We hang out, and now all of a sudden, because people know that I'm a trans woman, he wants to kill me.
Okay, and I get that, but my thing is like,
let's not act like every last one of them is out here tricking men, because they're not.
The majority.
Maybe not in 2021. They're not really doing that anymore.
In 2021, my thing is, for me, is like, you guys want to be men, y'all want to be females, do that. But don't sit there and like come after a man who's making a show. Like, when you're doing comedy is very dirty. You know what I'm saying? We went to a comedy show the other day, and it was very dirty. It was very inappropriate. It was very sometimes uncomfortable.
Really?
You know? It was. And
I was uncomfortable. Yeah, we went to see Afion.
Right. I mean, come on. The nigga was talking about dicks and fucking bitches and doing all this other stuff. Like, come on. There's a lot of things when it comes down to comedy that, you know, they talk about veterans. They talk about people with
They talk about everybody. They talk about the same people, black people.
What makes a trans
They talk about everybody.
They talk about everybody. So what makes us trans special? What's so special about you that we cannot talk about, we can't joke about? Like, I don't give a fuck about you wanting to chop off your dick. I don't give a fuck about you trying to, you know, you want to, you know, elongate your pussy. Or you want to, whatever the fuck y'all trying to do. But you cannot sit there and try to make somebody else, like, if I want to talk shit about it, I'm going to talk shit about it. I don't give a fuck how you feel about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say what I want to say, how I want to say when I want to say it. You know what I'm saying? If you feel some type of way about it, that's just, you know, that's your feelings. Get over it. You know what I'm saying?
So what if a comedian is talking about, like a white comedian, like he make all these jokes about, yeah, black people is monkeys. And I seen this nigga the other day with some pink ass, big ass lips. And all I thought it was about is throwing a banana at him.
Okay.
Is that funny?
In the setting, in the setting of which he's in.
You gonna laugh? Because that's not funny to me.
Okay, well, don't laugh. There's gonna be other motherfuckers that's gonna laugh about that shit. The same way they talk about white people, black comedians, they talk about white people all the time.
That's
like
true.
Karen this and Karen that, and you know, cracker Becky this and cracker that, and this not whatever. They say that shit all the time. So what? So when
well,
are we gonna
we don't really, we don't oppress them. So we can joke about them.
At the end of the day, it's all fair game. And my
so
thing
in
is
comedy, you don't think nothing is off limits.
They can say what in the setting that they're in, it's a comedy special. It's we're joking around, nothing, whatever. Don't take shit personal. Don't, you know, the trans, like my thing is, I feel like in the current day and age, a bitch can't say a motherfucking thing because the next bitch gonna feel some type of way about it. And for me, I just don't give a fuck. You want to chop your dick off? By all means, do that. You want to do whatever you want to with your... You want to be a man? You want to be a woman? By all means, commend you. You know what I'm saying? A round of applause that you are standing in your truth. You feel like this is what you are. That's who you are. Whatever. But at the end of the day, if somebody else want to say what they want to say about it, how they feel about it, religiously, you know, spiritually, or what science or whatever they want to say about it, you can't get mad at somebody else's opinion about what you got going on. And that's just the world we live in. We live in a world that's very opinionated. So just because y'all, you know what, y'all feel sometimes, y'all so sensitive, the LGBT, whatever, to the point where a bitch got to stop saying what the fuck they got to say. Bitch, fuck you and what you got going on. Because what you got going on has nothing to do with me.
Oh. Well, if it had nothing to do with you, you shouldn't be talking about it. Well, how about that?
Hey, it's our podcast and I'm talking shit.
No, I'm saying a comedian. But my thing is, you're right. If, you know, if we can joke on disabled people.
We're joking.
Joke
it's
about
a joke.
Disabled people,
it's
then
a
we
joke.
should be able to joke about gay people. We should be able to joke
about
anybody.
Let's laugh and have a kiki.
But I will say certain jokes is just a little bit too far.
Okay, and just don't laugh at it. That's it. Don't laugh at it. You don't have to laugh at a joke that you don't feel like it's funny or you don't feel like it's appropriate. There's a lot of jokes when I was at, you know, the comedy show that I didn't laugh at. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, okay. Some of them made me cringe. But did I be like, I'm going to go on social media. I'm going to post, like, let's cancel this
nigga. So you're not
canceling.
I'm
not canceling nobody. I fucking love Dave Chappelle, okay? One thing I like about him, he stand in his truth and he don't give two fucks about what a bitch gotta fucking say about
him. Do I think he's transphobic?
I don't believe so. He's not.
I believe he had an incident with a trans woman.
He is not transphobic at all. He is absolutely not.
I don't think so.
You listen, I encourage everybody to go watch the comedy special. When I tell you that shit had me dying laughing.
Not dying.
Although it... And I feel like he was trying to wrap the whole thing around about the whole trend because he's had a whole trans, really, really close friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A really close friend that...
No, he did something with a trans woman before. Like, that's his thing. He likes trans women.
I don't know that to be true. So I'm not going to speak on that.
Well, look at previous specials
again,
he talk about it.
They're special. This particular special I'm talking about is very good, is very entertaining, and again, it is about the, you know, the community, and he did a very good job at articulating why these bitches need to stop being sensitive.
Oh, they not being sensitive.
They are being sensitive,
but
Robbie.
they should be a little lighter, like take a drink.
I just
but sir, like I have to watch it. I don't know like what kind of jokes he made.
You have to watch it.
But
really good.
I will say some stuff is just like, okay, now you're going too far. If I go somewhere and people is calling black people monkeys, I'm not laughing, and I probably never go again.
Okay,
am I gonna try to get you canceled? Probably not.
No,
because the best way to cancel you is just to not entertain you and not give you my money. But am I gonna make a whole thing? This person is just this and that. Probably not. Because first of all, artists are sick anyways, and I'm not just saying comedians.
What do you mean they're sick?
People with artistic minds are like twisted to me.
Okay, that's
and
your
I don't mean in a bad way. Like they mad just go places ours never go.
It sounds like you're saying it in a bad way, but you know.
No, people use sick in a good way too.
Okay, Robbie. I've never heard that, but okay. No, I'm gonna keep it 100. Like I've never heard that.
You never heard somebody say, "Oh my gosh, that's sick."
Okay, yeah, I've heard that, but what you're saying they're sticking up, you know, like kind of twisted in the mind. Like, I ain't never heard that.
I don't mean it in a bad way. I'm just mean it's twisted, right? So they think of stuff that a normal, I don't even want to say normal because we don't even know if our mind's normal. Right. Look, but they think of the out of the box stuff. So with that being said, I believe in artistic expression and freedom. Is it my cup of tea? Like, I'm not one of those people that's going to go watch a super horror movie where they chopping off toes and they raping people. Like, that's not my thing.
Right.
I'm not going to watch that. And I'm probably going to look at the director like, why the fuck you even think of some shit like
that?
Right? But it's entertainment to somebody else. So I guess it could be the same thing with comedy. To one person like me, that is offensive. Why would you call people black monkeys, right?
Right.
But then the other person is like, oh my gosh, she don't really mean that, but that's funny.
Right.
Right? So that's why I don't believe in canceling comedians per se.
Right.
But I don't believe in supporting them with my dollars if I don't agree with what they're talking about.
Well, I encourage,
and nobody is off limits to jokes.
Right. I encourage everybody to go watch the show. Let's get his ratings up. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Let's get his ratings up. Because
you're doing the most.
We're going to get his ratings up.
Why are you promoting him? He's not giving you no money.
I'm promoting him only because of the fact that these bitches be why so sensitive. I'm so tired.
They're getting killed. That's why they're sensitive right now.
No, they're not getting killed. Okay,
they are getting killed.
You know what? I don't know.
Maybe you should do your research.
No. But my thing is, at the end of the day, stop being so damn sensitive. Don't nobody.
Let's just say that to the whole community. The whole community.
The entire alphabet. Y'all just need to chill the fuck out.
Because as a woman, you know what I'm saying? And a black woman, so I'm a double minority. I'm a woman and I'm black. I get all the jokes. You know, people talk so much shit about women and black women.
Why are you over here defending these trans women? They don't even, you know, they want to be included.
They come for women.
You know what I'm saying? They do come for y'all.
They come for us.
So my whole thing is just kind of like, at the end of the day, they want to be y'all so bad that they don't even like damn near support y'all. So anyway, I'm tired.
If people can talk about women all day, you know,
they can talk about y'all.
Hoes, pussies, our
especially black women.
Yeah,
you
our coochie
stink. Especially black women.
We curse niggas out and we're aggressive, and that's why don't nobody want us. And we black as fucking tart and all that shit. If we could take those jokes,
and y'all think y'all exempt, like fuck
and
y'all.
We can't cancel people for those jokes, then
right? I've never seen
take some of these jokes.
Never seen someone get canceled for disrespecting black women, you know, saying derogatory towards black women, all types of shit towards black. Like, look.
Like this, he said, the baby punched a black woman in her face.
Listen.
And he did not get.
As a matter of fact, we're going to even segue into the whole R. Kelly situation.
Oh,
They did not even care about these black women when the whole situation was happening. Now everything's being litigated now.
Well, he's already been found guilty.
Right.
And guess what? His streaming numbers like tripled.
Right.
They went up. After he was found guilty, a person who habitually disrespected black women. Mm-hmm. You know, women, they played tapes of him hitting women.
Peeing on women.
Little girls.
Right. Making them eat
mostly black girls and women.
Fecal mad, like
beating them, emotionally abusing them, disrespecting us, having these crazy songs that everybody sing, you know, and it's literally about young children. So, to this day, I cannot go back and listen to some of his music because I know that you're talking about a child. So, when we think about the Aaliyah song, age ain't nothing but a number, going down ain't nothing but a thing, that's disgusting.
Right.
That's disgusting. Because you think about it, he's talking to a child. Because in no world are you saying that to somebody you're equal.
You're not saying that
to a grown woman, right?
Right.
And since, if he was like a Usher who dated older women, then we'd be like, oh, he was talking to an older woman when he was telling her, trying to convince her to fuck with him. But no, we know that he dated teenagers and little girls, and he met Aaliyah when she was 12 and married her when she was 14 or 15. So
her parents allowed it. That's exactly how it happened. Come on.
Because no 30-year-old is spending a long time with my 12-year-old in no world ever. Ever. I don't care how much money you got. But with that being said, so when I listen to that song, and I can't even rock to it no more, even though it's a good song, but I know you're talking about a fucking child.
Right.
That is disgusting. And so then we think about all the other songs he got when you're talking about the Coming Out the Closet song, and now we found out he was fucking little boys. It came out. He was fucking little boys too. So and his fucking sales went up after he got found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody canceled him?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, some people canceled
him. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the LGBT community just got a little bit more respect for themselves than other people. Maybe they got standards that we need to go up and be like, we got standards, we are not allowing this.
Listen.
You might be a party pooper, but maybe that's it.
So here's a good question.
What?
Is R. Kelly redeemable? Is there a path for him for redemption?
So my belief is that rapists, child molesters, mm-hmm. They are not redeemable. They cannot be rehabilitated into society. Mm-hmm. I think once you like children, that's what you like,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you're attracted to, and that's not anything that we can ever fix. A rapist. You're a violent person and you mm-hmm. like to take pussy or dick or ass or whatever you like to say. You like to take it. I don't think we can fix that ever.
I mean,
so they are not redeemable.
Okay, so I feel
they
like
need to actually be killed. I'm sorry.
Oh, damn.
It's true.
Okay, I just feel like, everybody deserves mercy and grace. Wait, give me a second. Everybody deserves mercy and grace. But for me, I feel like a person, once they acknowledge the fact that they did something wrong, and
he refused to do,
and I feel like the only reason why I feel like R. Kelly at this point is not yet redeemable is because he's still trying to fight the charges. He's still fighting this whole conviction thing. So I feel like he's not yet come to terms, acknowledge the fact that yes, what I did was wrong. I did what I did to those little girls. So I feel like he's not at that point yet, but I feel like everybody is,
we don't even have, that's not debatable for me. Nobody can ever change my mind on that. And then I watched a documentary before where they interview child molesters and rapists, and they ask them, basically, if we get out today, and you knew it was no repercussion to you doing this again, would you do it again? And 100% of them said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them even said, keep me in jail because I know that if I get out, that is an urge that I cannot resist.
And I mean, those type of men who acknowledge that,
But it's certain of them who can acknowledge that it's wrong, but they still cannot control themselves.
Right.
And if a little kid come in their space.
Those niggas need to be, you know what I'm saying? But those who really feel like there is a change in them, because, like I said, in the field that I'm going in, one of the main things is rehabilitating people back into society. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like if somebody is willing to make a change and really acknowledge that, okay, this is wrong, I did this, I did that, and whatever, they should have the mercy and the grace to be rehabilitated back in society and
you are irredeemable.
And treated with respect and dignity.
Absolutely not. I would not ever treat a rapist or a child molester with respect and dignity. I don't care. It was 30 years ago. I would not ever. That's a point where you could say you act like certain shit is beneath you and you were condescending because I would disrespect them to their face every chance I get.
Right, right. No, listen.
And I would look at them so nasty and I would speak to them so nasty. And I don't care if it was 30, 50 years ago because I'm going to remind you every time I see you that you're a piece of shit.
Okay.
Period. Touché. Because I feel like you are irredeemable when you are attracted to a child.
Right.
That is something you cannot, okay. Like, you can't. I like men. I love men. I look at men on TV. I read about men in books. I see a fan man and I can't help myself. I'm like, God damn. God, you really did your thing with men. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's how them niggas look at children. I can't stop being attracted to men.
Right.
Even if I was to be with women or something, I would never not be attracted to men. Right. So I think of it the same way. If you like children, no matter how hard you try to live a decent life and be with a woman or a man or whatever you into, you're going to still look at a child. Even if you don't act on it, you're going to be attracted to that child.
Right.
You are not redeemable at all.
Okay.
So they need to stay their ass in jail.
All right.
Oh, wow. I went off on that. I can't stand rapists and child molesters.
So we are now introducing a new segment that, you know, I always, always like reading comments. So this segment is called Is the Comments for Me?
Okay. So before we had a segment about, like, Am I an Asshole? We did that before.
Right.
What else we did?
That was it. I think that was it.
We was doing quotes at one point.
Oh, yeah. We were doing quotes, and then we did, you know, Am I an Asshole? But I feel like this one is the comments for me. It's very, very interesting because when I go online, you can go anywhere. You can go on Twitter, Instagram, the shade.
Reddit.
Wherever. And the comments be having me dying.
It do be the comments. It don't even be the content.
It's not even the content.
It's the comments.
I'm literally there for the comments and the people's commentary on what they got to say about the topic. So
I realize that people are so fucking funny.
Right.
Every
right.
time you think you done met the funniest person on earth, or you done met the, or you done read the funniest comment. It's always wonder how you like your stomach.
That, when I tell you, it could be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm scrolling through.
I laugh out loud,
and I'm just literally dying laughing.
Like stomach hurt. Like laugh out loud. But anyways, I know we do have international listeners. Just so you know, we have international listeners. So for our international listeners, I don't know if y'all know, but Americans are. Like, they are crazy. Nobody wants to be told what to do, period.
Right.
So this whole mask mandate and the vaccines is just, it has become political.
Right.
So with that being said, certain people like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm not wearing no mask. They don't even have a real reason. They make up shit.
Right, right.
They make up shit to say why they not wearing a mask. But when it all boils down to it, is they don't want to be told what to do.
Right.
So with that being said, people are showing up to schools. They showing up to different meetings. Government offices to basically protest the mask mandate if there is one. Wait, hold on, Marco. I just don't understand how people had time to do that.
Right.
I watched this shit. I'm like, you really had time out of your day to take 2 or 3 hours to go tell people why you shouldn't wear a mask?
Right.
That is insane to me. I wish I had the time on my hand to go waste and try to convince people to not let my school.
They said they had something to say. Shit, they got
people need attention and love. Like, seriously, that's unacceptable. But anyway, so people been showing up to school board meetings, all kind of events, trying to just state their opinions on the mask mandate, etc. So we listened to a video clip which had Marco and I dying laughing. And we hope it bring you the same kind of laughter and joy.
Don't wear a mask. I don't care anymore. And your child can die.
It went to for people clapping. She said, don't wear a mask. She's like, yeah.
So pretty much, so they had a meeting, and of course, people, you know, people were complaining about, you know, wearing a mask and whatever. So I don't know what lady that was, but she was literally like, you know what? Hell, don't wear a mask. You know what I'm saying? And shit, your kids could die. You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, that's horrible. We don't want kids to die at all. Right, but right. I mean, like, that's you what's going to happen sometimes. Right.
At this point, it's like, they're just sick of it. And at the end of the day, what better way to learn with the consequences?
Oh. Well, it's been real, y'all. This was a great episode. We look forward to potting again. And thank y'all for tuning in and listening. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
And until later.
Toodles.
3, 2, 1. Oh no, you fucking laugh.
And it's frozen.